coincidence. I'd like to turn this morning to Psalms 145. Psalms 145. Psalms 145 is David's psalm of praise. Praise to the Lord. We're not going to be able to, or we're not going to have time to go through all this. I've got it myself divided up into different things, and perhaps we'll pick it back up when we come back in a couple of weeks. But we want to just introduce the subject this morning and talk about the first few verses. Psalm of praise. To praise the Lord means to cast forth light. It means to shine. When we're praising the Lord, that's actually the Hebrew definition. Another word in the Hebrew definition for praise is to be boastful in the Lord. So it's shining a light. It's to shine. It's to be boastful in the Lord. So we see that praising the Lord is both in deed and work. Or in word and work. Words and deeds. I want to talk about that this psalm was a very important psalm to David. Of course, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Bible tells us. But this psalm here is what's called an acrostic psalm. An acrostic psalm. Now, something that is acrostic means that it, when you read it, there's something about it that's different from just writing. It has a rhythm, or it rhymes. Rhymes are acrostic. So it has something like that. This psalm here is one of eight. In fact, it's the last one of eight that David wrote that is acrostic as far as the Hebrew alphabet. So a lot of times it's referred to as the alphabet psalm. And the reason why it's called that is in the Hebrew, every verse starts with a letter in the Hebrew in consecutive order. It would be like A, B, C, D, each verse in consecutive order is what this psalm is about. It's very important to understand why it is that way. It is that way for ease of memory. That's why we have acrostics. That's why we have things that are in rhythm. That's why we have things that rhyme. That's why we have things like this. So it gives us a way to try to memorize some portion of scripture or some manuscript. Praise was very important to David. As I said, is to cast forth light, is to be boastful. Psalms 44 and 8, David said, "In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever." In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. I want to have a little heart to heart with you this morning before we get started. I think it's a good thing for a pastor to do with his church members to have a little heart to heart. Praise to the Lord is very important in our lives. Praise to the Lord is not just on Sunday morning putting on a facade. Praise is not just coming in and, and rejoicing on Sunday morning and then having no thought of God and His works practically throughout the rest of the week. That's not true praise. True praise takes work. True praise. You know, when you're on a diet, you can get on these diets, you can get on these keto diets, you can get on these tummy tucks, the staples, you can get on these things and you can lose, if you follow that or you staple your stomach or whatever, you can lose a lot of weight fast. I've seen people drop a lot of pounds fast. But you know, over time, they go right back to where they were most of the time. And they go right back to where they were because they never really changed their habits. Right? We've all been on diets. If you've never been on a diet, thank God. We've all probably been on a diet at some time or another. And if you haven't, hang on, it's coming. A diet, the best diet that works, is a change of lifestyle, isn't it? It's a complete change in the way you eat. It's not trying to drop 30 pounds in a month. It's just trying to drop a few pounds every month, but still satisfying your body with the nutrients that it needs. And it is a lifelong, this diet, if it's going to be effective, is a lifelong endeavor. It takes discipline, doesn't it? It takes discipline to be on a diet. And when I'm talking about a diet, I'm just talking about the way that we eat, and changing the way that we eat, and so much that you would lose weight. Somebody that says, you know what? Starting tomorrow morning, I'm going to start praising the Lord, has got the wrong thoughts about praise. He's got the wrong idea about praise. Praising the Lord takes discipline. And when you're on a diet and you begin to lose weight, and you're on the right kind of diet, maybe you had high blood pressure, and maybe now you don't have high blood pressure because you're able to lose that weight and start to be able to exercise and you're starting to feel better. Maybe you're starting to be able to breathe better and you feel like you have more energy. There's great benefits to that. There's great benefits to praising the Lord, living a life of praise to God. But it's not just, I'm going to start praising the Lord tomorrow. You know why? Or I need to do this or I need to do that. Because we cannot do anything without God. We cannot do anything without God. You remember the first beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To praise the Lord, to live a life of praise, takes a complete change in your life. Now, most people are not interested in that. Most people are comfortable right where they're at. Most people feel like just showing up on Sunday from time to time, or showing up on Sunday every Sunday is enough for them. But it's much more than that. As I've already said, it's a change of lifestyle. It takes diligence. It takes trusting in the Lord. It takes doing a survey on yourself and seeing just how poor and undone that we are. Not just being boastful in ourselves that we can do that, but trusting in God, looking to God, understanding what God has done for us. And that way, praise to the Lord can begin to grow in our lives. Praise in the Lord, this shining forth this light, this boasting in Him for everything, will grow in our lives. If we look to Him, if we trust in Him, not in the things of this world. Things of this world, dear child of God, are fleeting, but for a moment. They're nothing. You say, well, I wish I was rich. You're looking through the wrong lens. I want to tell you something. You're rich this morning. Amen. Beyond measure. Beyond measure. You're rich in the Lord. You know, we talk about inheritance in this life. I want to tell you about a better inheritance that you have. An inheritance where you don't need an executor or a trustee, some man to try to make sure it happens. We've got a great testator, Jesus Christ, who made it happen on the cross. And our inheritance, dear child of God, is heaven. That's where we're all longing to be one day. That's where all of our hope is. Oh my, dear child of God, how we fret and worry about the simplest things in life. How we allow those things to consume us and keep us from what is most important in our lives. Keep us from what will give us the greatest experience in this life, and that is praise to God for what He has done. I don't care if you're bankrupt in this life and you're living under a bridge. If you're a child of God, you got something to praise God about. You might not be happy about your situation. You might not be happy about your condition, but you can rejoice in your position. Your condition may be the low land of sin and sorrow where we're all at. That's our condition, but I want to tell you what, our position is seated on the right hand of God in heaven, in Christ. And there's going to be a day coming, dear child of God, when our condition will match our position. And that day will come when we go home to be with the Lord. That's what's most important in our lives. Not this, not that, not complaining, not... It's praising God. We really shouldn't complain about anything. But put it all in God's hands. And be thankful for what the Lord has done for us. Verses 1 through 7 is the scripture I want to try to cover today of Psalms 145, and it talks about praising God for His glory. For His glory. I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of the majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of the terrible acts, and I will declare. Now that word terrible there, when he's talking about his terrible acts, he's just talking about reverend or fearful acts. It's not terrible in the way that we use it. It's reverend or to have fear, or a reverential fear, if you will. All men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. Sing of thy righteousness. I'm going to tell them some places that I've been to. I've been to old Baptist churches where the place was pretty full. A lot of people there. Was there on appointment. And during the song singing, it was just like almost everybody was just muttering. And I was like, my goodness, with this many people here, they ought to be blowing the windows out of the wall. With this many people. You see, we become complacent when we leave off the Lord. When we come to the Lord's house and we sing praises, it's not just to harmonize. And harmony's good, don't get me wrong. It's good. But we're supposed to sing from the heart, aren't we? There ought to be a rejoicing from the heart out of the lips when we sing these songs. A reading, and not just a reading of the words, but a meditating of the words as we sing them. That's praising the Lord. When we talk about glorifying, I said the first seven verses is talking about praising God for His glory. Glory means honoring God for His abundance and riches. Now that's in the Greek. And I bring these definitions forward because a lot of times we use glorying and praise, and it always helps me to understand just exactly what does that mean. So, when we're glorying the Lord, we are honoring Him. We are honoring God for His abundance and for His riches. I want to, for a little time this morning, I want to look at the abundance that we have to be thankful for. The abundance of God that God gives us. That we have a knowledge of that causes us to rejoice in Him. To cause us to glory in the Lord. You remember over in 1 Corinthians in the first chapter, it says, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We got any glorying to do? It's not in us. All we'd have is an abundance of wrongdoings. All we have is an abundance of sin. I want to talk this morning about the abundance of God. What He has and what He has given us and the abundance of His riches. And in doing so, we can glory. We can honor God in that abundance. We can honor God in those riches. The first place that I want to take you to is over at Psalms 107. Let me go to Exodus 34:6. Let me set it up first. Excuse me. It says here in Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. We can praise God this morning because He is abundant in goodness and truth. Now that truth is talking about His faithfulness. And we can glory in the Lord this morning because of His goodness towards us and because of His faithfulness. Now we'll go over here to Psalms 107. Psalms 107 is a psalm that has four verses that are exactly the same twice. Does that make any sense? There's a song, there's one verse in there that is exactly the same, and it's in there four times, and then there's another verse, it's different from that one, and it's in there four times as well in Psalms 107. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, so whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." Now this is one of the verses, verse 6, that you'll find four times. He says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." It wasn't until that they were down to nothing, that they had nothing, they had no dwelling place. They were wanderers, they were nomads, if you will. They didn't have any food or any water, but it was then that they cried unto the Lord in their distress. We're talking here about the providential care of God in his abundance, that in his abundant goodness, he providentially cares for us in this life. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." What a merciful God that we have. They weren't looking to the Lord to begin with. They were looking to themselves. And how many times have we done that in our lives? And the Lord has just let us go. And what happens is we just make a total ruin of our lives. And it isn't then until we're at the dregs, until we're at the very bottom, that we cry unto the Lord, and the Lord is merciful because he hears us and he will deliver us out of our distresses. He cares for you more than the lilies of the valley. He cares for you more than the grass of the field. He cares for you more than the birds of the sky. If he used all those examples in Matthew, don't you think he cares a great deal more for you than those things? "And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to the city of habitation." And verse 8 is the verse that I want to read. After they had been delivered, and this is another verse that's in there four times. We're talking again about the providence of God. You know, when we're talking about the providence of God, we're not talking about absolutism. We're not talking about that everything is absolute. Now, I am an absoluter to a certain extent. I'm an absoluter to a certain extent. I absolutely believe the Word of God. And I absolutely believe that if the Lord said it, He'll bring it to pass. I'm an absoluter in that. But when it comes to man, I am not an absoluter, unless you want to say, if left up to man, we will absolutely make a mess of things. And then I'm an absoluter in that as well. But this is not talking about absolutism, that everything that happens, happens for a reason. We're talking about the day in and day out providence of God in our lives to guide and direct us. And oftentimes, we're even unaware of it. Because as faith going forward, you can't see. And then if we're not even using that faith and trusting in the Lord, you're not even going to be able to, I mean, you're spiritually going to be blind. But it's when you look back, isn't it? It's when you look back in your life and you see the providence of God. A couple of years ago, I was going to work, and I was running late. I got in my truck. I cranked it up to leave the house. I got just to where I was fixing to pull out, and I said, oh, I forgot my lunch. I got out of the truck, went to the house, got my lunch, used the opportunity to kiss my wife goodbye again. Got back in the truck and went down the road, and I had just missed by seconds a very bad wreck on the highway. Just by seconds. I believe in the providence of God. I didn't say, boy, I sure was lucky on that one. No, I praised God all the way to work. I praised God for His providence. There's a lot of things that happens in our lives that we don't have patience for. We're not exercising patience. And the Lord may be giving us patience to wait something out because of His providence. He's trying to get something, He's working on something else that we can't see. Providence of God in this life. He's built up a hedge as He did Job. The Lord has built up a hedge around us. Don't think that you don't have a hedge built around you this morning. If you didn't have a hedge of protection with you this morning, the devil would torment you. The devil would torment you to no end. They cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard them, and the Lord delivered them from their distress. How many times has the Lord done that for us? And we say, thank you, Lord. And by the end of the day, we've really left it off. We've all but forgotten about it. And certainly by a day or two later, it's not even a thought anymore. But listen to what the psalmist says in the 8th verse. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. For His providential goodness. That we would praise God. You see, when we cry out to the Lord, even when we've waited to the very end and the Lord hears us and delivers us in our distress, oh, how we ought to praise God for His goodness, for His abundant goodness that He has towards us, always, for His wonderful works, for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now listen to what he says here. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. I want to tell you, you're not going to get by as a child of God, especially that knows the truth of the gospel. You will not get by in this life without praising the Lord in some manner. You will not get by in this life without putting God first. Now people don't believe that. They'll say, yes, preacher, that's right, until things start collapsing and falling apart in your life. We need to look to the Lord. We need to trust in Him. The Lord has given us the truth. He expects us to praise Him for that truth. You know what we do when we're that way, when we leave off the Word of God and what God would have us to do? We become prisoners, don't we? That's what he's talking about here. We put the shackles on our own feet. And the Lord just walks away. And there you are, shackled up in a dark dungeon because you left off the Lord. But He can release the prisoners of their bondage. He can release you of your bondage. Listen to what He says in the 13th verse. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? When they got to the end of the road, and everything was falling in on them. Don't take that as a coincidence. Don't take that as something that is just a it's just happening and it's just this is. No, it's God trying to wake me up. And it is me that have shackled myself. But when we cry unto the Lord, He delivers us. He brings us out of those distresses. What a merciful God. Aren't you glad God doesn't just leave us there?
Amen.
Aren't you glad none of us have the power of God?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us will say, sorry, you had your chance. You had your chance 50 different times. And number 51's it. But He heard their distresses. He brought them, listen to what it says in the 14th verse. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. He released them from their captivity that they were in. Oh, that's not a time to say, thank you, Lord. I best be on my way. No, what does the scripture say right after that? Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness. That praise, as I've already said, is not just coming to church on Sunday, though that is very much included. Because you have to come to the Lord's house to get instructions, right? To understand the gospel, it's very important that we come to the Lord's house. But it's very important that we would praise God for His goodness each and every day of our lives. For He hath broken the gates of brass and hath cut the bars of iron in sunder, because fools of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Let me read that again. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Who's afflicting them? Who's afflicting them? They're afflicting themselves, aren't they? They're bringing this trouble upon themselves. We can't blame other people. We can't always blame Satan. Well, it's Satan's fault. No, resist the devil, James says, and he'll flee from you. Doesn't mean that he's not coming back. He'll never quit coming back as long as you're alive in this life. But if you resist him, he'll flee from you. Don't, you know, the devil made me do it. Devil ain't made you do nothing. You done it yourself. Here, you have this person who he's talking about has put their own selves in affliction. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. We're talking about here that he heals us from our sicknesses, our spiritual sicknesses. First of all, it's according to his goodness that he has providential care. It's according to his goodness that he releases the prisoners out of their bondage. And it's according to his goodness that he heals the spiritually sick. Those that can't even eat meat anymore because they're so sick they just can't even digest it anymore. There's a loss in their life for the Lord. That spark has long since faded away that they had for the Lord. You know what we need to do then at that time when that happens? Verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. The Lord comes to them every time. Do you know what, dear child of God? The Lord will come to you at every time that you cry out to Him. That you cry out to Him. And what's our response? Well, it should be in the 21st verse, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. That we would praise Him for His goodness. The last one is, they mount up, they says, and let them, in the 22nd verse, and let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with what? Rejoicing. The one that was shackled. The one that was sick. The one that needed the providential care of God. They go down to the sea in ships, but do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord, for his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. You know simply what that's saying? Is there are sometimes afflictions in our life. This is described as a mariner that's out and there's large waves and wind and this tempestuous sea. And it says the Lord does that. The Lord does that in our lives. The Lord brings us up, or lets us down and brings us up. And the Lord needs to do that from time to time and bring the waves of affliction in our lives. That we would once again refocus our heart, refocus our mind, refocus our lives in praise to the Lord. I believe this is one of the greatest problems that we have in the falling away in the church. I'm not saying the church is going to go away. It'll be here. I'm not saying there won't be an ingathering of the church. God knows that. But very little true praise is had in our lives. Very little true praise in looking to the Lord. Most people, and I sound so critical, most people, as I've already said, by Sunday afternoon or Monday morning, they can't even tell you what the preacher preached. It's gone. Completely gone away with. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Trouble in affliction. Affliction that the Lord brings upon them. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. You know, sometimes what we got to do before the Lord, before we call on the Lord, we got to come to our wits' end. We got to realize that we're not witty enough, that we can't get ourselves out of this trouble. And it's better that we figure that out earlier than later. But they come to their wits' end. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Again, he brings them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. I just see that in my mind as a ship being out there on the ocean. Just being tossed to and fro. And the Lord just directs that ship and brings it into a little quiet peninsula area there where the water's just very calm. There's nothing, and he just brings it right into that. A place of peace, a place of rest. What should we do? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Each time. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Exodus told us that he's abundant in goodness. Exodus 34 said that the Lord is abundant in goodness and truth. And that truth, as I was talking about, is talking about his faith. And there's so many places we want to go to and talk about that. We could go to Psalms 89, that his faithfulness will not fail. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's go there. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a day, dear child of God, that the Lord's going to be coming back and we're going to go home to be with Him, soul, spirit, and body. And we'll ever be with the Lord. And we're preserved unto that day. It's not anything that we have to do. Well, let's read the next verse in verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. You can rest in the Lord, in His abundant truth. You can rest in the Lord and His abundant faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 13, he says, the Apostle Paul says, there hath no temptation taken thee, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. It's the faithfulness of God. If we confess our sins, John says in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, Brother Carey, I thought He cleansed us on the cross. Eternally speaking, we are sanctified, eternally speaking, positionally speaking. But I want to tell you, we need some practical sanctification in this life. We need to be separated from the evilness of this world. We need to be separated from the ungodliness of the world. And when we're around that, we get tainted with that. And we need to go to the Lord because of our deeds and our actions that are against God and ask God for forgiveness. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God. You know, every day for I don't know how many years in my life, I've asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins. And I mean it when I say that. I mean it when I pray that. To forgive me of my sins. And you know what the Lord does? He forgives them. Not for my sake, but because He's faithful. Because of His faithfulness, He can do that. David said over in the 9th chapter of Samuel, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show them kindness for Jonathan's sake? Is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show them kindness for who? For Jonathan's sake. You see, he was faithful to that covenant that David had made with Jonathan. And they said, yeah, there's one named Mephibosheth in the land of Lodabar. And David said, go fetch him and bring him to me. They went and fetched him and brought Mephibosheth to David. This was all because of the faithfulness of David. Mephibosheth, what am I? What am I that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as myself? That thou shouldest look upon me? What am I? That ought to be in our heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now in this life. Brought him in, sat him at the king's table, a man that was crippled from a fall at age 5. Could not walk. We were crippled from a fall. At age 5 talks about death. 5 is death in the Bible. We died in Adam. We were crippled from a fall. And when he sat at the table, I love this picture I have in my mind. We got one trying to compete. When Mephibosheth sat at the table, this picture that I have is that tablecloth coming over the table and covering his legs. It's in the Lord's house that we can come and sit and feast at his bountiful table. Feast on the Lord. He is that manna from heaven. And we can feast on him. And just for a little while, the Lord allows us to scoop these old feeble legs, these old warped legs up under the table like Mephibosheth, and to hide that just for a little while and allow us just to praise God for what he has done. I'm thankful for these things. There's so much more that we have to talk about, and we'll, Lord willing, continue this at another time. God bless you. I appreciate the time.